The Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters. Break it down. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour? All over the place. Credential wars and yeah.
Victimization.
Yeah. I listen, I'm not gonna dog the guy for not understanding what he's talking about when you just work for a chain station that's laying people off. You don't understand that we're actually a major media company, that those four credentials have to apply to Sports Map, to the radio stations, to Culture Map. Largest locally owned media company in the city. Also very successful. So, yeah, those things are not really, to just say you can apply for four each week, which you may or may not get.
But, Fred, I don't ask questions at post-game interviews.
Ah, well.
Bill, were you happy with how Tom Savage played this week?
We have to coach better. We have to play better.
But mostly it's on me to make him better.
We have to coach better. We have to play better.
Yeah, sorry I wasn't there for that one, Paul.
But that's all right. You want the team-affiliated station asking all the hard questions.
Yeah, because you guys are always bringing the heat with the Texans. Yeah, 6-10. They're no holds barred. They're asking the toughest questions.
How tough is it that J.J. Watt's lost for the season?
Are you disappointed that Deshaun is going to miss the rest of the season? Because it looked like he was looking pretty promising there. Yeah, that's going to be tough for us.
I don't really care what you say.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's any question I would ask Bill O'Brien. Yeah. That would be his response.
So, Bill, why were you so conservative in the fourth quarter against Seahawks? When you get a first down, you probably win that game.
I don't really care what you say.
Bill, why are you demanding that our credentials be taken away while every hack that works the midnight shift at 6:10 can get a credential?
I don't really care what you say.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad.
What about those rumors that you have a really small penis?
I don't really care what you say.
I've never heard that. What website did you find that?
That was on
Twitterverse.
That's on CBS's website.
Hey, Black Spotted Zebra sent me this, and it's really funny because my wife and her sister, they were trying to figure out something for the kids to do in San Antonio this weekend, and they were like, let's go to the San Antonio Aquarium.
Okay.
And my wife got on Yelp, as she tends to do. Anytime we're thinking about going to a restaurant, anytime... she's on Yelp.
Okay.
She's figuring it out. I don't know if
mine does that too. Everything has to be Yelp before we actually go.
I don't think my wife is a Yelp reviewer. She just believes what other people have to say about places. So she Yelp reviews the San Antonio Aquarium, and it is not good. Everybody's like, this is the most ghetto place we've ever been. This is a joke of an aquarium. And so we end up
pretty rough.
We end up not going, but yeah, because it's the most ghetto aquarium that anyone's ever been to. And now Black Spotted Zebra sends me this story that says trio steals shark from San Antonio Aquarium by disguising it as a baby. What? Leon Valley police say a well-trained trio took Shark Week too far, stealing a horn shark from the San Antonio Aquarium. According to police, the group stole the 3-foot shark from an open pool where visitors are allowed to reach in and pet the species in the tank.
Who wants to pet a shark?
Salvaggio said one of the men grabbed the shark by its tail while the others wrapped it in a wet blanket and put it into a stroller. And they just strolled out with it. That, first of all, that's an incredibly ballsy move. Secondly, what are you going to do with that shark? Who steals a shark? Very odd choice. Also, it's odd when you walk into an aquarium pushing a stroller and there's no baby in it. If I were the ticket-taking guy, I'd be like, hey.
But you're leaving. They're not taking your tickets.
Right. I'm talking about like when they did they leave the baby in the fish tank?
No, you can put blankets on it and stuff to make it look like you got a baby in there.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to say that I know someone who did this.
You know someone who stole a shark?
No, but I know somebody who might have snuck some alcohol into an event disguised as a baby. So, yeah, sometimes you have to wrap that baby up. So,
you're right. Paul Gallant tweeted back at me, John. This is all in response to you. He says, I'm just as lazy as the next person when it comes to bleep like that, but filing paperwork versus being treated CNN, there's a bit of hyperbole going on, no? Was there a bit of hyperbole going on with you, John?
A little bit, but, you know, that was a response. You know, that was the emotional response.
You're playing victim.
I am playing victim. But it was one of those things where I get that email. I'm like, look at this. And it reeked of the sports leader doing this to other outlets. Well, it just reeked of that. But
again, though, I think it's a league-wide thing, which is an even bigger issue. And if that's the case, then... I mean, yeah, there's still little bitches over there, but that's okay. I mean, they can have it. I don't want the Texans over here. Never have. But, it's really a bigger issue that, you know, obviously I don't think enough people pay attention to because it's so easy to just ignore it. And yeah, I'm kind of a little bit guilty of that myself because I don't really think there's much we can do about it, and I don't really care to do much about it at this point because I think it's inevitable that, you know, all information is going to come from the leagues and the teams, and they want to cut everybody out who's not part of their circle, and they want the message out that they want. And frankly, I don't understand how they're letting their TV partners make such a big deal out of the Anthem stuff, but at some point that's going to end too.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's just the way we're headed. We're headed to it in politics. We're, you know, democracy is gone. I mean, this is, you know, we're headed towards the old Soviet Union. We are.
That's us. I mean, there's a little hyperbole there.
There
right?
is a little hyperbole.
Yeah. Dustin's pissed off about some prospect they traded. Yeah. They gave up Hector Perez, he's got some nice, some decent looking stacks, single A, double A, but. And then David Paulino is also in the deal, which I know what David Paulino is. Yeah, he's nothing. He's not going to help you here.
He's he's one of those 4A guys.
Yeah.
He's a little too good for AAA, not good enough for the Bulls. Yep.
He's nice because he doesn't walk a bunch of dudes, but that's like his quality.
Hector was their 14th best prospect.
Okay.
So for whatever that's worth. And they've got some pretty good other pitchers ahead of him. So, all right, you give up your 14th best prospect. You gave up a guy who's probably just a AAA pitcher who might can help the Blue Jays. And then, you know, you traded your own problem. So,
Lamont says the secret is fake laughing at O'Brien's jokes. That is a key. That if you want to stick around for long, you do have to give him that courtesy laugh.
It's kind of hard because nothing he says is funny.
It has to be. That's how we all feel around Barry Laminack because he's like, Barry is funny. Yeah. Follow me on every social media, @Barry is funny. So anytime he says stuff, we like force laughter so he doesn't lose his mind and have to change his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
So we all do that.
Now he's subtweeting again.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I don't care.
I don't either. That's it.
He tweeted back at me, but I don't care. Yeah.
That's all the run you get on the number one show in the city. So, goodbye.
I like that guy fine, but...
I think he's okay at what he does and more entertaining than a lot of the people over there, but...
It's a giant pain in the ass. Yeah. It is to me. And I, honestly, I'm... Oh, well.
Yeah. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We will be giving away one last pair of tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. Let's see, what do you think, John? 5:35. At 5:35, we'll take the 20th caller. Don't call before then. 5:35. Here at Guy Media, we love to party, and since we've been having a great run and our stations keep growing because of you, our listeners, we've decided to throw you a party. You'll win an invitation for two. Last one, I think, we're giving away to come to the Guy Media Listener Appreciation Party Thursday here in our offices. It's going to be one of those awesome, all-inclusive parties where you show up and we do the rest. And you'll have the opportunity to talk football film with the bench, try to stump Charlie, pop a shot with the usual suspects, or play poker with us. The only way to get in is to win an invitation. Listen every day to every show for your chance to come out to one of our events, because we're giving them away on site too. So 5:35, caller 20, you're going to get the last one that we're giving away. It's going to be a lot of fun Thursday. Looking forward to seeing all the people and saying thank you for making us the number one show in the city for 6 months in a row with ratings that, yeah, you should be bragging about. Subtweet. All right. Man, this apparently they were opening all this new stuff down by me, but this Burger House was supposed to have opened. Like, it's been forever. We're waiting for it to open.
Mm-hmm.
Finally open. It's already closed.
What?
Yeah.
What place is this?
It was called Burger House. It's down there by Warehouse Live and all, you know, that kind of cool area where everything is now.
Okay.
I think they waited a little too late to get open, because once Rodeo Goat got a foot in there.
No, they're like, we don't need you.
Yeah, as a burger place, that was going to be kind of tough. But, it says less than 2 months that it was open. That's too bad. But, yeah, that thing was there forever. Thought it was going to be... Yeah, it's St. Emmanuel Street.
Well, did you see that there's more of the going through people's old tweets?
Yeah.
And persecuting them for it?
I had to go get rid of all my lyrics about gay people. I went and deleted them all.
Sean Newcomb, if you haven't seen his tweets, Sean Newcomb uses the British cigarette term. I say uses. He used in 2011 and 2012.
How old was he?
A senior in high school. He used it all the time. And he did use the N-word with an A, not a hard R, with an A, but it was quoted as a song lyric, which I don't know. You guys can figure out if it's okay or not for a white person to quote a song lyric with the N-word.
Yeah,
when they're a senior in high school.
I think by now people should learn not to do that. But yeah, I'm not gonna get too mad at kids for doing that stuff. I'm not gonna hold it against them. What, 7 years later?
Yeah, I guess it has been about 7 years. Yeah, and people are holding it against him, which. I don't know if it's fair or not. Well, I think it's a little silly, but that's okay.
We got to destroy everybody whenever something like this comes out.
So Trey Turner, who is the shortstop for the Nationals.
Not to be confused with Trey Campbell.
Not Juggalo Trey Campbell. This is not a Juggalo Trey Turner, who is also the starting shortstop for my horrible fantasy baseball team. He tweeted that he got his tweets taken off the internet, and now people are going crazy with them. His first one is, once you go black, you're going to need a wheelchair. which is a quote from the movie White Chicks.
Yeah.
Is also, it's funny.
Yeah, it's a little funny.
And I'm going to go with not racially insensitive. I'm going to go with that's just funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Unless you were actually put into a wheelchair from having sex with a black guy. That would be, that'd be unfortunate. And then he tweeted at someone who apparently tweeted at him. He said, "You're gay for your last tweet, dot, 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 retard strength droopy." I don't know what that second part means. The more offensive part of "you're gay for that last tweet" is he spelled "your" Y-O-U-R.
Yeah.
Like, give me an apostrophe R-E, and then we'll discuss if that guy is gay for his last tweet. And then he said, "When the lady at the drive-thru asks who the British cigarette in the back is, oh, that would be me." And he makes an emoji of a finger raising. So I don't know if...
Well, they called himself...
Yeah. That?
Okay.
But I don't know if we're... I mean, it's just getting out of control. And this was, again, 2012 when Trey Turner was a senior in high school. Hmm. This is why I'm telling you, man, if you are famous, delete your Twitter. Start over.
Yeah.
It's not worth your 7 to 8 figure salary every year to have Twitter.
Well, and more importantly, if you're an athlete, that's the kind of thing that could cost you endorsement money.
Yeah.
So all it takes is for one person at the company to be offended and they're out of there. Taylor says Bregman's tweets stop in 2016. Hashtag cleaned up. Is that true? I don't follow Alex. I don't know. Can we research that, John?
He probably got rid of it all, which would be...
That would be smart, though.
Yeah.
Frankly, that would be smart because I think, you know, he's... that's a guy who stands to make a lot of money off the field.
No, Bregman, I mean, he tweets all the time.
Okay. Yeah, that's fake news.
Yeah.
No, he tweeted...
Yep.
You're looking at 16. He just tweeted 50 times on July 16th.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Bregman, he's steady on Twitter. He can't get off of it.
Longhorn Dimitri says, "I'm so sick of being politically correct. Bring back Blazing Saddles where we could laugh at each other." I think the world's changed. There's a lot of stuff now that people, and I think it's okay for us to evolve, and as things become offensive, adjust to them.
Yeah.
But as we were talking about this before, the British cigarette thing, it wasn't that long ago that it wasn't offensive to people. And... Yeah, go watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That was one of his big lines. Those guys are British cigarettes. And I think people would refer to it a certain way, and now that you realize, okay, that's offensive, then you just don't do it. It's okay. We can find other words. And I think I'm less upset with people who are trying to make jokes. I sometimes you're going to miss. We miss on occasion.
Yeah.
That's okay. But, you know, I think it all comes down to what was your intent. Were you intending to use a word in a hateful way? And if you were, I'm going to judge you a lot more harshly than a kid quoting lyrics in high school.
And we've talked about the F word, the F word for gay, and even the R word, and... the M word for little people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was a senior in high school, those words weren't considered offensive. So...
I never knew the M word was offensive until the little people of America threatened to...
Exactly. Now you know,
Boycott us.
And now it's... We don't throw that word around as much.
No, unless there's a little person on the show that wants to be called
yes.
that.
Yes.
That's acceptable.
And the R word for someone who's a... who's not functioning at full capacity.
Yeah.
That word has become sensitive for people. So you don't say anymore. But back in the day, that just meant you're a dummy.
Those were, I mean, we threw that kind of stuff out all the time.
Yeah.
In both cases and never thought about it until, yeah, but that's okay. If you, if, and I kind of feel like I can find other words.
Yeah.
And if I want to be funny with them, I think I can do that.
But when, but think about when you were in high school, what you were allowed to say and not offend people versus now. Like, when I was in high school, if I ate my buddy's French fries while he was in the bathroom, he might come back and call me the slur for gay dude.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't, like, break me into a million pieces and send me to therapy. But it was not completely unacceptable to say that word 20 years ago. You know? Now that word is frowned upon. I mean, it's just like, you know, you go back 60 years and there were teachers saying the N-word in school.
Yeah.
You can't do that now. I mean, like, times change. So, I don't know, man. Some point, it's like you gotta put, there's got to be a reference as to when you did this or whatever. And I don't think going back to what a dude, you know, said 7 years ago when he was in high school on Twitter, I don't see what it's accomplishing except, I don't know.
Well, I think it goes too far. I think people are looking for things to be pissed off over. They're looking for things to be outraged over. And that's how you turn quotes like that into, oh, you're a racist. And it's like, well, wait a minute. The kid's quoting a song here and he was in high school. That's one thing. And then you'll equate that with somebody who committed a serious crime at that age. That's not the same thing. I wish people would be a little less sensitive, but I also understand that there are times when something is sensitive that you need to respond to it and you need to, you know, it's like everything else. Not every single thing that happens is Armageddon. We need to scream about it.
Yeah.
And that's what society's become. Everything's either offensive one way or the other. And you're a horrible person for not understanding that. Well, I'm a horrible person for not understanding that too. But I didn't mean you. I meant
right.
Generic you. All right, guys. So if you are a horrible person, you want to be a better person? We all want to be a better person, right? Well, here's your chance. Just donate a vehicle that you're not using anymore to Texans Can Academies and you'll be a great person. And doesn't matter what kind of vehicle it is, car, truck, could be an RV, could be a motorcycle, and maybe it's just, you know, you had it sitting in a garage, you were going to fix it up, maybe it got flooded and you never got around to fixing it, won't start now, you don't know what to do with it, doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in, guess what they're going to do? They're going to come tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. You can do it just in minutes online, and your donation is tax deductible, and if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, guess what? You're going to get a $50 gift card. And that money goes to help kids at Texans Can Academies. And these are schools that take in kids that have dropped out of other schools. And you've heard me talk about them for a while. The Blitzers have stepped up big time with their donations. You can be the next one to do it. And if you can hear my voice on the radio, they will come and tow it. So you can make a difference. Get rid of something you're not using anymore. And get that gift card, too. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Chad says it's reassuring to hear the straight white man explaining why things aren't offensive. Keep fighting the good fight.
Who's saying something isn't offensive? Yeah, I'm just saying considered offensive now is different than what was considered offensive 20 years ago.
Tell me if you're offended by this, Chad. You're a little bitch. Go play in traffic. How's that?
Yeah, I'm guessing Chad is 25 years old and doesn't know what was offensive 20 years ago because he was wearing diapers more than likely.
He probably still is. Yeah. All right. Do we have Lance Erline? Awesome. Lance,
yeah, I'm here. What's up, guys?
Where are you at? Are you in your office?
I'm on the phone at my house.
Oh, at your house. At the at the Zerline Estate.
Yeah, I'm out on the patio. It's hot, but it's not as oppressive as it has been with this heat.
Do you have Do you have thoughts on the fact that I will not be having a season credential to the Texans this year?
Well, you and anyone else?
Yeah, me and anyone else at this station. But nobody at this station goes and works besides me. I'm the only one who goes and works. Barry Warner, I think, like, used to, but he doesn't work here anymore. Like, I don't think anybody else here, like, goes to actually do work. They just go to hang out and eat the free meal.
I used to work from there. I mean, I used to do podcasts and blog. You know, I used to do a blog in the Chronicle, and I had all kinds. But, yeah, last year was not the time to work. Like, what do you mean by you work? What are you doing?
I string for ESPN National, and then I do an interview at the end of the game of someone from the winning team, like a key contributor from the winning team.
No, you 100% should have a credential.
Okay. Then we agree.
You're working media through ESPN. Through ESPN National.
If I didn't do that,
I would go to,
If I didn't do that, I would have no reason to go to the games. I'm not going there for fun.
No, I would 100% speak with the media relations. We could talk about this, obviously, off the air, but I was very surprised. It's the first time in 16 years that I saw that we are 17, whatever, however long they've been around, that that this has happened. I'm very surprised because it's not – you guys have been up there. It's not like the place is packed out.
No. There's plenty of room.
I don't want their damn free food anyway. It's never any good.
The wings are good.
They're okay.
They're a little wet, but they're good. Lance, have you gone back through your Twitter to make sure there's nothing offensive you said years ago?
Yeah, I've always been relatively careful, to be honest with you, just in general. But I've been especially careful since I got the NFL gig. I'm like, nope, not doing even. I mean, I've caught myself. And even things that were remotely very, very modest, I'm like, nope, not going to, you know, just self-censoring. But this is, I almost feel like this is a targeted effort. I mean, you know, if I were a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not, I would say that there's a group of people saying, hey, let's just go see what we can do. Let's see how much damage we can do. More than likely, it's just the lone wolves who are out there just scouring. Because, I mean, honestly, who cares about Sean Newcomb? Who cares about any of these guys? But the Josh Allen thing and the Laremy Tunsil thing. Laremy Tunsil, that was specifically a mother's boyfriend who wanted to bury his draft stock with the bong mask. Josh Allen, somebody wanted to screw Josh Allen on draft day. So, I mean, that was very clear. These, all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. Something feels very planned about this to me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, well, and there's people that go back and look for old takes. I mean, I get people tweeting me stuff from a year ago. They're still on the Alex Bregman versus Chris Sale thing. It's like, my God, people, is that your life? Is that what you care about?
Yeah, I want them to go back on my Dak Prescott and now reassess my draft analysis of Prescott and see if they like it better now. I bet it looks better now than it did after year one.
Hey, Lance, I wanted to ask you about something because I don't think we talked about it enough, and I kind of wrote this today for Sports Map because, like, all the questions we talk about with the Texans, are we sure Bill O'Brien's even a good coach?
At first I think you have to define what a good coach is, and I know that seems glib, but, I mean, I think you have to start with a baseline. A good coach to me has to be, like, they've got to be able to get guys to buy in and follow them. They've got to be able to game plan, and then they've got to be able to alter game plans. And then I think – and really I think the fourth – and alter game plans means, you know, in-game stuff, which I think Gary Kubiak was very good at 1 and 2, not so good at 3. And then number 4 would be the peripheral stuff that some coaches have to do, which is a feel for the roster and the 53-man roster and who to keep and who to let go of and things like that. I think Bill O'Brien does, and I know people around the league think very highly of him. I think he hits a lot of those check marks. I'll tell you, the one check mark that concerns me is number 1. And I think guys will buy in, generally speaking, but he's got that red-ass demeanor. At least he's had it in the past. I've heard about, there have been some players, Brandon Brooks most notably. I don't think Dwayne Brown was all that jazzed about OB all the time. there are some guys who he's going to rub the wrong way, and you don't want to lose the locker room. And so I do think the buy-in is something you're always going to have to look for with him, because anytime you have a really, you know, a guy who's very emotional or wears his emotions on his sleeve and doesn't hide things, I think you always run the fear of potentially losing some guys. And I remember my dad telling me when he went from college coaching into the NFL at the Cleveland Browns for the first time, one of the things he had to learn was that you've got to know how you can handle a certain team or a certain group, which players, you know, these are more grown up guys. And so you don't handle them the same way you'd handle a Penn State team. Now, Bill O'Brien's been in the NFL. He's been with the Texans since 2014. But I do, the one thing that really concerns me, I think the strategy's fine. I think the in-game stuff is fine. We'll have to see about the roster. I don't think anything's been proven on the roster stuff, to be honest with you. And the first one, I think guys buy in now, but will they continue to buy in if he's chewing on them through adversity? I mean, we'll see. He's faced some adversity, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I would just say that, you know, we always talk about coaches and quarterbacks getting too much credit. And last year, I think Watson covered up for a lot of O'Brien's failings. If Watson is not that as dominant as he was last year, can Bill O'Brien cover up for those failings of Watson's? That would be my question.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think he covered up for some failings of Hoyer. When you go back and look at Hoyer, had a pretty strong season. He got yanked too quick after game one. He put together a 20-some-odd touchdown and 7-interception season. Really, it was a pretty decent season for Brian Hoyer, who is really just a guy. You know, you could also point to DeAndre Hopkins is obviously really good at what he does. But I do think Bill O'Brien can help teams out. I don't think there's any coach that is going to help. What you said, the first part, no question. Deshaun Watson did things, and I think Bill O'Brien privately told some people, hey, I mean, this guy is doing everything. There's nothing I can do to coach this up. He's just making unbelievable plays. Like in Seattle, just like I think there was an acknowledgement like, well, this is just an unbelievable run by a great player. You know, I'm just trying to stay out of his way. And when you have a guy who's doing that, that's fine. With O'Brien, I think he's going to run into – my fear is he's going to run into some major problems with that offensive line. And I think that's everyone's fear. You got Julian Davenport is going to be a first-time starter. Chantrell Henderson, first-time back in a year and a half. And I think he's just okay when he's healthy. You got Kelemete, who should probably be a sixth offensive lineman. You know, solid, but more of a backup to fill in. Fulton's solid. Nick Martin, I think the jury's still out on Nick Martin. So what you got is you had problems last year. I'm not sure you're a lot better this year, if any better this year. So Deshaun's going to have to work his magic again. But let's remember, this is after defense coordinators have seen him for at least 7 games of tape. They're going to make some changes. I mean, there's a long list of quarterbacks who have had struggles in the second year after getting off to a fast start. So Bill O'Brien is going to have to anticipate potential struggles and be ready to somehow activate the running game. That's what's really going to be his key is, can he get guys to continue to buy in if Deshaun is down, and can he find a way to activate running game? Because if they don't activate running game, then everything's on Deshaun's shoulders, and that's way too much.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench, 7 to 9:30. Well, technically the bench is 7 to 9, but you hang around for an extra 30 minutes, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, 7 to 9, 7 to 11. We're all a big – I'm tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see what the – hey, wait a minute. Is there something going on that I need to know about with you guys and other radio personalities? And what's going on? Why did I get a message that I need to go check out Twitter?
Oh, because Paul Gallant was tweeting at us about being victims.
Okay. I gotta let you guys go. I need to go get on Twitter real quick.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll see you guys.
It's the legendary Lance Zierlein. Yeah. Follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. What do we have here, John? We have a break.
We've got a break.
We'll take a break. We've got a gym of the day. We got a couple calls we'll get to. And Lamont had said something earlier about would All in the Family survive in 2018. The wife's been watching that. It's amazing how much of it holds up. You'd be surprised. Some of the issues they discussed. Now, I can't watch it because I that woman's voice was so annoying. I could never actually watch the show because anytime she talked, it was fingernails on a blackboard to me. But if you can tolerate that, you should go back and check it out. All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Check out SportsMap.com today. Lots of good stuff, including my first offering in a few weeks. I was taking a little break from writing, but decided to kick off camp with some little facts on Bill O'Brien. So I'm pretty sure that
sweet facts.
I know exactly what Bill O'Brien would say if he read the article, which he hasn't, or he wouldn't. But I know exactly what he would say. He doesn't.
I don't really care what you say.
Yeah, exactly.
You know him all too well.
A couple people keep asking about the listener party tickets. We gave the last ones away, and there have been people who keep saying, "Hey, can you know, I'm a longtime listener that I did that last Tuesday for everybody." And I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I made it really clear that what it would take for me to get you on the list, and that was the one time I was going to do it and the only time I could do it. So if you didn't listen then, there's really nothing I can do at this point because I've already, you know, put the list together, and I don't even know how many people got invited off that list, but it took me several hours to sort through all the emails, and I just, you know, I want to give people an opportunity, and I think we've done as good a job as we can of that, but as I said last Tuesday, after the deadline, I was not going to be able to get people in. So please stop asking me because you're making me feel bad about not being able to get you in when I've really gone out of my way to be extremely nice to everybody.
Also, I thought we made this clear, but I put zero people on a list, and I wanted nothing to do with picking people to be on the lists. Don't ask me. I turned in my list with zero names on it, intentionally.
And I said I would handle all the Blitz stuff, but it was over 300 emails, and it was going to be one day, and that's what we did. And otherwise, you got to win like everybody else. And I did that specifically so people have been listening for a long time, I could put them at the top of the list, which I did for a lot of our regular listeners. So if you're one of those who missed out, then, yeah, I'm sorry. That was... I'm not going to feel bad about it because I spelled it out as easily as I could and, you know, told everybody that on Tuesday at 5 o'clock, we'd tell them what they needed to do. And enough people responded that, you know, I knew this was going to turn into people bitching about not getting in. And the reality is we're trying to do something nice for you guys. If you didn't get in, I feel like we've given you every opportunity. So let's squeeze in a couple of calls real quick since I've gone too long to do a gym of the day. Kevin.
Yeah, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Sports. What's up, Kevin?
Yeah, well, this is not really sports. You saw what it said on there. But I missed the show, but I was wondering what happened to the book and the movie deal.
They're both moving along. This is one of those things where the book deal, I have an agent who's dealing with it, and well, in the movie, they're getting the final financing. They had some setbacks after Harvey in terms of financing, which a lot of people did. So I know that they're getting close on it. The reality is, at this part, it's all in somebody else's hand, and there's really nothing I can do. And I'm trying to – what I might do, if I can get permission to do it, is we may go ahead and do the audiobook first.
What?
Yeah, I actually – You know, I have a couple of pretty cool people lined up to
Morgan Freeman.
Not that cool.
Samuel L. Jackson.
No, not that cool.
James Earl Ray.
Think a little
not
more.
Not James Earl Ray. James Earl Jones.
Now think a little more.
James
local,
Earl Ray would
a little
be
more
really
locally, because basically there's three main writers in the novel. One of them is the Judas character, and that's the one I'll voice all of his. But I've got an old Italian hitman.
Okay.
So who would make a good Italian hitman to narrate?
John Granato.
That's the first person I thought of, actually, for it. Okay. So, and then I have a female voice who plays the Mary character.
Stop. Okay, I'll do it.
A prostitute.
Okay, I'll do it.
Thanks. Appreciate you. So, yeah, but
I'm trying to get this. I hope you got some cash, big boy.
7137.
I know who you Holly, right?
Yeah, she's gonna do the. She's gonna do that for me. What?
She's got her hooker voice down.
Yeah, well, she's kind of my go-to on.
I'm
this
just
stuff.
Kidding. She's built for audiobooks.
Is that Austin? Let's do that. What's up, Austin?
Hey now.
Hey, are y'all guys doing?
We're doing.
I was
sports.
Wanting to know, just what y'all's opinion on the whole James Gunn thing with Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and that, like, I guess the new news today was that, like, the cast of Guardians, you know, Volume 3, the new movie coming out here, I don't know what year, but they actually are supportive of him and want him reinstated. I was wondering what y'all's opinion on that.
I've seen that, too, and, I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel bad for him because, again, what he was tweeting while in 2018 is deemed offensive. I don't know if it would have been offensive when he wrote it. You know, it might have been edgy, but I don't know if it was offensive. And if it's meant in comedy, I don't know. I feel bad for the dude. Well, and everybody does seem to want him back. He's good at his job. Like, I don't know what the answer is, man. That's tough.
So I have a question for you guys. So when
interesting question.
When it flood. So back when Disney or Marvel hired James Gunn to do the Guardians movies, he came out and apologized for those tweets because they were brought up and he addressed them already. So, and now
wait, before like a couple weeks ago?
Yes. So he addressed and apologized for those tweets and now.
And then they had him do another movie?
This was before Guardians 1.
Oh, hell no. He should have his job then.
Yeah. So I was on the fence about it. I was like, well, I thought, like, okay, if they fired him, I didn't have a problem with it. If they kept him around, I didn't have a problem with it. But then it came out that, nope, he came out and apologized for him after, I think it was like 2012 or something like that, after he got hired by Disney, and they vetted his Twitter, and then he came out and apologized, saying that he was trying to make a joke. It didn't go over very well, and he apologized. And then, again, last week, this stuff surfaced, and then he got fired.
Yeah.
I think they just didn't want to deal with the public backlash.
I get that Disney has to have apparently different standards than everybody else, but didn't they just have a movie where they killed off half the universe? Isn't that a little more offensive than this? Just including poor little Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go. I'm just asking. Nice of you, Disney. I need a car, Bark.
I need about six. My fridge always has some Carbach in it, man. And in summertime, there's some good Carbach out available right now. Hop Delusion is out. OG Recipes Hop Delusion is on shelves now. They've tried a couple different versions of it, and they've got the original back on the shelves right now. Loaded with Mosaic and Simcoe hops, a touch of Citra. This is that Imperial IPA that really kind of put Carbach on the map for hopheads. All their summer beers are great. Those Staycation, Tasty Waves, Love Street, of course, is year-round, but especially great during these hot months, and the Weekday Warrior Session IPA. They've got a summer menu going on as well. In addition to their regular menu, you can get some Hatch Chili Mac and Cheese, Smoked Chicken Salad, Beer Can Chicken, just something to make the summer months a little tastier. Remember, Music to Your Beer Wednesdays, every Wednesday night, multi-genre music nights from 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. No cost to attend. You just pay normal beer garden pricing for your beer, and sit back and enjoy the tunes. Take your dog out. Have yourself a good time. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or just ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach. She needs a drink, so she starts shaking. Put a victim till his heart starts breaking. Throw your tears, cause she don't mean it. This landscape is just... You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.